Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Assessing a person's legal matter often requires extensive interviews, review of contracts and documents, and research of the current state of the law on the issues involved. As a result, the information provided by the attorneys and guests of All Things Legal is given for informational purposes only. It is not to be construed as legal, tax, investment, or other professional advice. Communications with the attorneys on this program, whether verbal or digital, do not create an attorney-client relationship.
Hey, we're back. Doug Sinceri, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers. We're back for a bonus half an hour. All Things Legal. We're on till 10:30. Got LSU playing at 11. First pitch, 10:30 pregame show. You know, real quick, so the LSU's playing Georgia in Athens. Georgia's ranked number 5. You know, in a few months, LSU's going to play in the SEC baseball tournament. That's probably as hard to win as the College World Series, because the SEC's that good.
Yeah, they're pretty stacked this year.
So,
and basketball as well.
Absolutely. Let's go to phone lines. Let's go to Oliver. It's got a fence issue. Today's fence day, huh?
Fencing. All right. We're fencing today.
All right, let's go. Hey, Oliver, you're on All Things Legal. What you got for us, man?
Yeah, good morning. How y'all doing this morning?
Good. We're doing great. Go Tigers. That's what we're doing.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I just have a question. Who's responsible for a survey of your property if you want to have a fence built on, you know, around your premises? I assume that would be the property owner.
Well, yeah, so if you live in a municipality, if you live, for instance, in the parish of Jefferson and you want to have your fence built, you don't sound like you live in the parish of Jefferson, by the way. But if you live in the parish of Jefferson and you want to have a fence built, then you need to go to the parish and file for a permit. And the permit will require that you provide them with a survey. And that way they know that you're going to give this survey to a fence company, and the fence company is going to the survey is going to have the areas marked with the little red flag, the yellow flag, so they will know exactly where to put that fence on the property line. And so that, you know, you would be required to get a survey when erecting a fence in an urban area.
Yeah, you pretty much summed it up. That's what I was trying to get to, because if the fence company come out to build your fence, I would think they should have to tell the customer, okay, well, you have to have a survey in order for us to install the fence in a proper area.
You would think, but again, you know, some guys, you know, pay me cash, fly by night, you know, they're not necessarily reputable, but the more reputable fence companies will advise you of that and will in fact go take the steps to get the permit. You know, again, it's going to cost you more money. A lot of people don't want to do it. They just put it right where it was, right? But they don't want to do it because it's going to cost for the survey and it's going to cost for the permit and it's going to take more time, et cetera, et cetera. But then you do it right and you avoid all these issues that these people are calling about.
Yeah, I accidentally cut off my
man. Oh, sorry about that.
We apologize. I did.
Sorry about that, Oliver.
Oliver, but that's called. You know, we had a call about the fence before the hour. A property owner found out a fence was built on his property, and we wasn't able to finish. And he said the fence was there for a while.
Right.
So could you explain the implications of?
Yeah, I mean, if it's been there for more than 30 years, the owner. Let's say it's 2 feet within your property line, and it's been there for 30 years or more than 30 years, and it was erected by the other owner of the neighboring property, and they've cut the grass and they've maintained it and they've done those things for 30 years, they would have an argument that there's something called acquisitive prescription. In other words, they have acquired that property because the lines have kind of been drawn by that fence boundary for that 30-year period. And anything over 30 years, whether they possess it in good faith or not in good faith, they would still be entitled to acquire that property through 30-year acquisitive prescription.
We call that in Bucktown squatter's rights.
Squatter's rights, absolutely. You know, I do have we had a caller call in. Greg called in about
medical
procedure, $200,000 that they charged. And then I had a doctor, thank you, doctor, text us saying, what are they requesting that he pay? I'm a physician, and I can tell you. So his daughter had some tiny bones in her ear replaced. The doctor said they needed to check and monitor her facial nerves to ensure there were no damage from surgery. The bill stated that it was a 15 minutes worth of monitoring, and they charged $200,000 to monitor her facial nerves during the surgical procedure. So it sounds pretty ridiculous. So, Doc, if you can text with that answer, that would be great. Let's see. Another text. Any recourse against an ex-employer for sending a false cease and desist letter to your new employer? They accused me accusing you of contacting their customers and stating you signed a non-compete, which is not true, Brad in Madisonville. If you did not sign a non-compete, not if it's a question as to whether or not it's valid.
It's valid or not.
But if you did not sign a non-compete and they damage you somehow, so let's say you lose your job or you're prohibited from, you know, working there for a period of time until this gets worked out, and you lost income, you certainly do have a cause of action against your ex-employer.
There's
for
also
that.
A possible cause of action under the Louisiana Unfair Trade Practice Act.
Mm-hmm. And correct that, and for intentional interference with a contract as
right,
well.
Right, right. Interference in commerce. So you would have. There's a special law. It's it says that if you do any type of deceptive practices in the conducting of law that's not
a business
that's not regulated, such as construction law or insurance, that you could be liable for damages, plus they have an attorney fee provision.
Yes, and maybe even treble damages.
Yes.
So if you can prove up damages, you might be entitled to three times those damages.
So there you go.
Let's see.
You want to go to nursing home on top?
Yeah, well, go ahead and answer that one.
What do you do if a parent who has been in a nursing home for a decade passes with only one asset being the solely owned home, which has no lien except Medicaid? How long, if all, do you wait for Medicaid to ask for their part? What is the maximum percentage they're entitled to? Just walk me through. That's an interesting
real
question.
Real loaded question.
First, I'll do the percentages. It's basically you take the average. The lien can't be anything more than the average 37.5% of the average assessment in that parish. So it's only a portion of the house. It can't be the whole house.
And typically assessments are lower than the market value.
Yes. The second part is see if there's an exception to the Medicaid rule, either that the person's a family member is in necessitous circumstances, they have to fit within the
that is living
poverty,
in the, that's living,
living
in the
house and within a percentage of the poverty guidelines, or if they have a disability. If you have fit one of those criteria, you may be able to have the lien waived. The third part is, this is how we're not recommending this, but we call this Medicaid roulette. Government inefficiency works both ways. It is not very good when you want to get something from government, but it's not very good. Sometimes it's good for you when they want something from you and they're not able to do it. They have a right to file a lien, and they have a right to try to collect that back. Do they do that all the time? No. Do they do that?
They have no lien except Medicaid. So
right,
Medicaid
so
did file a lien. So the question,
then,
I guess, is how soon before they enforce it? Well, they're not going to try to enforce it until you try to transfer the property.
Right, you can't sell a property. The property is encumbered.
You're going to have to
deal with them. So what you want to do is find out if there's any exceptions to the Medicaid lien, which there's a couple of them, and they may fit. Or sometimes if you can show there's some necessitous circumstances, you can maybe negotiate down the value to lien, and that
depends.
Yeah,
and if you're just looking to sell the house with nobody with any disability or whatever living there,
you're
going to have to go face the music and deal with them. Now, the other thing which a lot of people don't consider, you know, dad died 10 years ago, mom lived in the house last.
So it might only be half.
Yeah, she might only own a half interest in the house, but it says solely owned home, so I'm guessing you know what that means, but often the kids own half when the mom dies, and the other half is the, so they would only be entitled to a percentage of mom's half.
Our recommendation would be if and when you open succession with a probate attorney who has had experience with dealing with Medicaid liens. And they may be able to help that out, you know, assess your options.
Exactly.
All right. So you want to let's go to a break. Doug Cinceri, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers, all things legal. We'll be right back after this brief timeout. All right. We're back. Bonus half an hour on all things legal. Going till 10:30. 10:30 pregame show for LSU Georgia baseball playing in Athens. 11 o'clock first pitch. Go Tigers! Let's win this series on the road. That would be great.
One more text. What is the benefit of a will versus a trust?
That could take
2 hours.
We tell
our clients all the time, 99% of the time, especially with the
independent administrators.
Well, especially with the independent administrator, and especially with the inheritance tax exemption at almost $11 million per person. You pretty much do not need a trust for the most part. Now, there are instances where you do. A lot of these people are out there getting these revocable trusts, so we want to avoid probate. And I'm seeing their bills. They're getting charged $7,000-$8,000 to prepare these
trusts.
These revocable
probate,
trusts.
Probate's
that,
half that.
Yeah, that doesn't protect your liability. They're just a lot of things that they don't do that you might think they do.
Well, you know, it's interesting for the federal death tax. You know, people say, do I have to pay taxes when I die? I said, do you own a football team? They go, no.
Yeah,
I said, you're probably not going to pay taxes.
Probably not.
So,
But for the most part, a will will satisfy, a properly drafted will and well thought out will probably satisfy the vast, vast, vast majority of people's needs.
Yeah. So then it's what you have to do really is you can't put the square peg in a round hole and try to make it work. That's which a lot of people who push trust do. What you do is say, what are your needs? Have a conversation for an hour with a state attorney, and then they will suggest vehicles to do that. And probably 95% of the time, it's going to be a will. A simple will would cover everything, all the objectives you want to accomplish.
Okay, I had a client who has a trust, was worried about liability, you know, personal liability for certain properties, right? They own real estate. So we're worried about liability protection. So he gets a lawyer to prepare an irrevocable trust, which now he can't revoke, naming him, my client,
as the beneficiary.
As the beneficiary and the trustee.
Well, that's not an irrevocable trust.
Right, because now the trustee can direct where that money goes.
So that's a revocable
and so trust. Correct. And so he basically still has control of the assets and the trust.
Without asset protection.
Without it. And so he loses that very purpose of why he set it up, but now it's not revocable. So that property remains in trust.
Yeah.
Now, the reality of it is he's the beneficiary,
he could
probably revoke it. You know, at some point,
anyway.
sell it, and
deal
turn
with the title problems and all that sort of thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's best thing is have a conversation. Don't go in there with a preconceived notion that I need to do this. Get the information first, then you make this decision. Rather than saying, "Hey, I want to have a trust, make it work for me."
Right.
Because
when
you go in there with that kind thought process, it's not going to be.
When I get the phone call, hey, I want to set up a trust, and my question is, tell me why. I'm going to let you articulate why you want a trust.
Right, that's what I say. Yeah, say
because
why you want it.
Tell me why. What is the? Well, I want to do
tell
this. Well, you can
why.
Do that in a will. Yeah. I want to do. You know, and it's so much less expensive. And probate is just not expensive.
And there's a lot of people who do trust that you end up probating anyway because there's some asset that's not put into the trust.
Right.
Or if certain circumstances, money's returned from government, nursing home, or something like that, and you still have to open succession.
So. Another case in point. Got it. They prepared a trust for a client, a previous attorney prepared a trust for a client of mine that had real estate in it. Well, they did not file a notice of trust in the parish the real estate.
You have to do it.
Yeah. And so now all of a sudden somebody relying on the public records looks at it and sees that the individual still owns the property.
And I want to make a distinction. You can create a trust in your will.
Yes, you can. You can do a testamentary trust.
That would come into play. Like if, for
example,
you have
young children.
Or if you have an adult children who has problems and you don't want to give them all the money at once.
We do that a lot.
And say, look, I just want to give it to them a little bit at a time because if they get it all at once, they're going to blow it. So, you know, there you can have trust, but at you can build it into, it becomes funded when the person passes.
Correct. And that way you have the money that you need up until your lifetime.
Right.
And then at that point you can transfer
it. So if they blow it one year, you still got the next year.
Exactly.
And then also I have a text, is a trust more applicable to a Down syndrome child? What you can do is put a special needs trust inside of a will, which would basically allow an adult child with special needs to receive government benefits and receive the benefit of the inheritance. It's called the Supplemental Needs Trust. And you also can create a trust to be the recipient of life insurance proceeds or recipient of an annuity.
Right.
But you'd have to create that trust now. And that would be one situation where you'd want to create a trust.
That's a very good question. Thank you for that text, because that is a situation you want to protect those assets.
And there's a lot of children who have special needs, adult children who have special needs who you want to provide for, because they understand that when they leave this earth, nobody's going to take care of their kids like their child with special needs than they would otherwise. So
anyway, all
right. Well, stay tuned for the LSU Georgia game against in Athens. The series is tied 1-1, and hopefully next week we'll be talking about LSU playing Duke.
There you go.
Or University of Central Florida in Tackle Falls.
Right.
And playing for a Final Four. So
yeah,
there you go.
If you couldn't get in, if you have a question you wanted to ask off air, you can call us at our law firm at 504-837-1304. Ask for Doug or Albert. And we'll be happy to talk to you then.
Yeah, Nico and Sinceri Law Firm, 504-837-1304. Stay tuned for LSU baseball. Jeff Prolamo is going to be doing it, because I think Chris Blair is going to be flying back from Washington, D.C., and I think Doug Thompson. So stay tuned. And we'll see you next week on All Things Legal. Be good and be blessed. And most of all, go Tigers.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.